Well, 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 ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first edition of the all-new Beards on MMA. I'm Pro Matt, and I didn't think we were ever going to do this again, but just like everybody else that goes into retirement, we came out of it, and we are ready to go again. Hey, don't be fooled by the new tag. It's not like new Coke or the new Archies. We didn't change any shit. It's basically just the same guys doing the same thing we did before just a year later. And I'm guessing Cutman Matt is probably just a little bit drunker. So before we get into things here, let's jump right into Pro Matt's sponsor corner. Downloads of all previous Beards on MMA shows are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Blog Talk Radio, including all the old episodes from the first time we had Pat Healy to the second time we had Pat Healy to the third time we had Pat Healy to the number of times we had whomever. It's all good. It's all there. And it's all available for you to download free of charge. ProMat Sponsor Corner welcomes back the Mod Cabin, Backwoods Beauty Products for Bearded Men, always available at themodcabin.com, all one word, all lowercase, and on Twitter at themodcabin. Follow Beards on MMA on Twitter at Beards on MMA and find us on Facebook under our show's name. We're always looking for new sponsors, so hit us up on social media and we'll get in touch from there. Tonight, we're going to talk about all the recent rise of drug test failures in MMA. It's not really a fun topic. Actually, it might be a fun topic. I don't know. Something we all have a small take on. We're then going to talk about some of the fight cards coming up this week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'll bring you major events from the World Series of Fighting, Bellator, and the UFC. Probably not going to talk about World Series of Fighting much. We'll definitely delve into Bellator and UFC, though. But we're going to open by talking about the World MMA Awards, which were recently in Las Vegas. Cutman Matt and I both attended. We'll talk to you more about the experience and our thoughts on the whole thing. All right, now it's time to welcome back the real stars of Beards on MMA. Now from the sunny shores of Florida via the cold, whatever. I don't know if you guys have ocean shores or what in Missouri. But Cutman Matt, Cutman Matt's back. What's up, Matt?
What's up, everyone? You know, it's a fun fact. You can drink outside year-round here in Florida. You can just get drunk all day long. You know, it's like a dream come true to be down here.
Amazing, amazing life you have there.
You know what? I don't do much, but I do it well.
You know, I was thinking today's actually 51 weeks to the day that we first went off the air. So had we actually
waited a week?
I know. I was gonna say, had we actually done this next Monday, it would have been a full year. We did promise people January, and I kind of fucked that up. So,
shit happens.
Yeah, it does. All right. Now we got still live on location from Oregon, the always unpredictable Jordan. Tonight he's repping TLC. What's up, Jordan?
How you doing? I don't want no scrubs. That's TLC. That's not Destiny's Child, homeboy.
Yeah. Destiny's Child for life. You don't talk shit about Beyonce. You don't talk shit about Beyonce. She has the best girl band of all time. Best girl band of all time.
That's definitely up for debate, but keep going, Jordan.
I in no way am disrespecting Destiny's Child. I slow soft pop out to him occasionally. However, when you want the pure, unadulterated thugness of an all girl band, you go with TLC.
Left Eye did burn down her her boyfriend's house. So
yeah,
Andre Ryan give him the tough life.
And their number one hit was basically a song about if somebody cheats on you, cheat on them back, because we're thug that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give some credit to TLC. So.
Yeah. So guys, it's been almost a year since we last did this. What has the last year brought you guys? Matt, you've had a pretty major move. I've had a pretty major life change.
Are you talking to me? Sorry, I was taking
all you guys.
There. Yeah. Well, I moved to Florida, like you said earlier, and things are going well with Bellator. So, you know, new format there a little bit, some regime changes, but everything worked out well for old Cutman and Matt. So, I'm just down here in my flip flops, living the cut life.
Absolutely nothing has changed with me. Nothing. Literally, still rocks. That's about it.
Well, your beard grew a little bit longer, right? I mean that counts too.
Yeah. So actually, my beard's been growing. Everybody asks me, well, how long have you been growing your beard? And I say, fuck, I don't know. I just make up numbers. But
nice.
apparently, 51 weeks.
51 weeks.
Oh.
I cut my beard the last time we had a show.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that
the same week. Yeah, the same week we did our final show, you cut your beard. And we all were appalled.
Yeah, I'm coming up on my yeard, or whatever those dorks you give about call it.
You know, I actually trimmed my beard a little bit today, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, I'm going to get the flu now. I'm definitely going to get sick or something. It's like Samson's hair.
You should be disgusted.
Yeah, I know. I was. Like, I cried in the shower for a little while, you know. It was just, I couldn't believe I did it.
Oh, man. Your beard was looking pretty good, too, when I saw you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it was just, you know, and the reason I trimmed it was because it was long enough that this morning I woke up and I had kind of brushed it on my pillow and it actually curled around into my, so I woke up with my beard like in my mouth, you know, I felt really weird about it. I was like, well, I should trim it down just a little, you know, just to keep this from happening.
I don't get, I'm a free bird. I have not trimmed anything. My mustache has been going for a year. I lost a little bit of beard hair in a brawl, but other than that, it's free flow. It's to the point now where it is so irritating because when I wear overalls, it gets caught in a little hook. So constantly, all day long, I'm getting them plucked out. Drives me goddamn apeshit.
Yeah, but as you know, my major life change is that my daughter was born March of last year. She's nearly a year old, which is crazy to think, and my wife is actually upstairs putting her to sleep right now so that I could come and record Beards on MMA. So thanks to my wife, and I hope she's not giving you too much of a hassle up there. She's kind of thug life, so she might be fighting back.
Just let her listen to this show, she'll fall right asleep.
Yeah, that's right. Although we use a lot of words that I don't want her listening to, so
I would throw out an edited version.
That's right. Yeah, even the edited version of Beards on MMA, which doesn't exist, is probably too vulgar.
Well, it would only be about a minute long if we truly.
That's right. It would actually just be Danger Zone and then Danger Zone again, and that would be the whole thing.
Yeah, open and close.
Here's what I heard from all the beeps.
That's right. All right, we're going to start now with something that not a lot of other podcasts are covering because I don't think a lot of podcasts attended. The World MMA Awards happened about a week and a half ago at the Venetian in Las Vegas. It was an interesting experience, to say the least. I'd say there were some ups and there were some downs to the whole thing, but overall it was a pretty good night. I enjoyed myself. I don't know about you, Matt. Your quick thoughts on the whole thing before we jump into specifics.
Really, really good open bars. I would say that if you're trying to get into some place you're not supposed to get into, maybe Jason Herzog, the referee who was up for referee of the year, is maybe your man, your go-to guy. Other than that, I don't remember much else. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Yeah, I know we did. Who was that one bartender? That dude that was just dancing to himself,
Lou.
And singing the whole time.
Lou.
That's right. Shout out to Lou at the Venetian.
I'll never forget Lou.
That's right. He got a $20 tip from me when for his good bartending, and he made me. You saw what he made me do, right?
Yeah. No, tell the story. Tell it.
All right. So you know, this party that we went to was open bar, so we weren't paying for drinks and The entire time, Matt and I had a drink in our hand. So don't think for a minute that we squandered any minute at that, you know, at the bar. So about halfway through, this guy shows up and he's behind the bar and he's already drunk and his name's Lou, and he's just, I don't know, he's just in a whole different world. You know, everybody's brother and dude and whatnot, and he's just throwing drinks and free pouring left and right. And at one point, I looked over while Jason was talking to Renato Laranja, and dude's just, he's got a hold of both of the beer taps there, and he's just, I don't know, gyrating or dancing to himself or something. And I was like, this guy is the party, man. This guy is the fucking party. So we went over for another drink and we ordered doubles and I think we got triples. And so I offered him a $20 tip, and he made me, carefully place it right up at the top of the tip jar so that everybody could see that somebody was appreciative enough to not leave him a dollar bill.
It was hilarious. He's like, put it where everyone can see it.
Put it where everyone can see it, brother.
Yeah, it was. I will say that Fighters Only did treat everyone extremely well. It was, just to get into the specifics here and kiss a little ass. Fighters Only did treat everyone extremely well. It was very well run and organized. In the weeks leading up to the event, I knew everything that I needed to know. I basically had zero questions the whole time. They put on a really, really well organized show, and so I just wanted to put that out there real quick before we start
Yeah,
talking about other debaucherous things.
I would say that top to bottom, everything was pretty well done. I mean, they even had people in the lobby, in different areas pointing people towards the award show, which I thought was pretty cool. They could have just said report to the amphitheater or wherever it was, and people could have just gone to find it themselves. But no, they had people there, and people were holding signs and pointing people towards the amphitheaters. And like you said, everything was really well organized. The red carpet was really well organized. The cocktail party, the whole award show, top to bottom, I'd say was pretty good. So it was, I thought it was a really good experience. I thought it's something that, every MMA fan should have the chance to experience if they want to. But unfortunately, I don't think it's open to the public. So that's not something that they can do right now.
Well,
And the first question I wanted
and
to
that
ask
was
you was, do you
go
think
ahead,
something like
sorry.
this should be open to the public?
Yes, especially because, and that's what I was about to touch on. The attendance was low, and I felt like a lot of people probably got invited, but they believed it was going to be just the UFC show. Other people from other, fight orgs, Bellator, Titan, World Series of Fighting, ONE FC, they were all nominated, but not a lot of people from those other organizations showed up. And I feel like that's because they're like, oh, they're just going to give it to all the UFC guys. Org of the year is going to be UFC. Man of the year is going to be Dana. So I feel like, the first couple of World Series of Fightings were very heavily attended, but I feel like everyone now, it's almost like House, the show House, where you're like, there's a formula and you know exactly how it's going to end. And I think that people kind of felt that way and they're like, eh, whatever. I'm in town. I'm going to go gamble or whatever instead. Yeah, because it was a little too predictable. So I think if it were open to the public, you would get people that, are just fans of the sport filling those seats that would love to see the people that, that did show up, rather than just having the industry kind of ignored as a been there, done that sort of thing.
And I think the events aired on TV already, and I don't know how it came
It
off, but
did.
the crowd wasn't very into the whole night, and I think that's where the public would probably help as well.
Oh yeah, because they would be so psyched to, people behind the scenes all know each other. So when, a guy or a guy you train with or work with at one organization or another gets up there on stage, you're just like, oh, this asshole again. Yeah, that guy owes me $5. I'm not gonna cheer for him. So, but the fans, the fans are the lifeblood of the whole thing, and for them not to get a chance to kind of openly come see it, I think is a bit of a misstep, especially since you wouldn't have to open all the tickets, but open a couple hundred or something to the fans for purchase. I
Yeah, and
mean, it's not going to hurt anything.
especially since there were a lot of people that were flying into town just for UFC 183, which was the next day, maybe there could have been some sort of package deal or something like that, where you buy a ticket to the event in the lower bowl and they'll give you an upper bowl seat for the awards for free or something like that, or you buy a floor seat and you get VIP access to the Fighters Only MMA Awards, including a ticket to the show and invite to the cocktail party or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Something that maybe need to look into in the future. So, like you said, it aired. I didn't get to see how it came off. It aired on Fox Sports, I think. But yeah, I think if the crowd would have been a little bit more into, it was actually a well-produced show. There were a lot of things that were done, a lot of the skits and stuff that were really funny that I noticed Fighters Only finally put on their YouTube page. But it's fun to see that stuff live and to be there and to get the chance to meet some of the, because there were big name people there. The fans would have really loved to interact with.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, some of these guys, it was really cool watching some of the fighters and personalities interact just because here are guys that might only see each other once or twice a year and they just sort of run into each other at this award show, right?
Yeah. And like I said, everybody's kind of old buddies and worked with each other before, been to each other's gyms and stuff like that. So, and it would be cool for the fans to get to see that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a side of things that, they don't, I think they think all fighters sometimes hate each other or, You know, they don't – everybody's friends. They really are. Mm-hmm. Only the assholes are the outcasts. In general, everybody is friends.
Well, you guys sound like big shots.
We kind of are. If I'm being honest, we wore suits,
so
Jordan. Suits.
We did, yeah. I wore a tux.
I also like to tell these nice people at home about how you guys went MIA for about 24 hours. And I,
no.
I sent a message, said, "Are you guys alive?" And all I got back was no. And then you disappeared for another 6 hours.
That did happen.
That's Vegas life for you, though, man.
Yeah.
You guys are telling cute stories about getting doubles at the bar. These people need to know that you guys probably had a little more fun than just a double.
Well, there were several doubles and a German girl at the bar. So, you know, there were all kinds of things happening. You know,
yeah.
What happens at the MMA awards partially stays there if it gets you in trouble with your wife.
Yeah,
that's why you don't invite fans, because assholes like me would show up.
So speaking
I
of the
fan, I
feel
like he just worked us to make that point.
I think so.
To make that point.
There's a payoff.
Speaking of the fans, and this was actually a good point that you brought up, where the light attendance might have been just because everybody assumes that it's the UFC show. The awards are basically voted for by the fans, and so that's probably the reason why it's really UFC heavy, because it just ends up being a popularity contest. Do you see any fixed insight for this? Because I think it's important to have crowd participation, but at the same time, you know, the right guys might not be necessarily getting recognized the way that they should be.
I agree. You know, I think part of that is, you know, it's a little bit up to the promotion, you know, if they want it. You know, there were some fighters actually campaigning, you know, for, you know, oh, I'm up for this award. I really, you know, I even saw referees doing it. And I think that's cool. You know, it shows that they take an active involvement. But, like, you didn't see much of, like, you didn't see ONE FC or Titans, like, putting it out there, like, hey, go vote for us or anything like that. You know, it was just, I feel like Fighters Only maybe needs to get more involved with these other organizations and make it a mutual thing. Like, you know, we're really going to pump up your fighters and really going to show these clips a lot on, you know, and on all our social media, and bump you up, and we expect the same from you, and then everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely got to be some middle ground there, but until then, I mean, it's, you know, to me, it's just going to largely remain some sort of a popularity contest.
It is. I mean, and, you know, there are other Bellator's trying to, you know, very hard to become, you know, more well-known and more popular. And, you know, the rumor is they're going after Brock Lesnar right now, which, I mean, come on, I don't know. I really don't have any inside info on that, but I find it a long shot that they would land Brock Lesnar. But if they did, that would change the landscape of MMA a little bit. I really think it would, you know, so you never know what's going to happen. But
yeah,
I was going to say
you could be looking at, like, the MMA version of the Monday Night Wars beginning again, right? Right when
yeah, and
a guy like Brock Lesnar shows
down
up.
For that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
that would be rad. I was a fan. I liked when I don't necessarily care for the guy himself. I don't know him that well, but that Ali from World Series of Fight, he was trying to pick a fight with Bellator, World Series of Fight versus Bellator, and I was like, that's pretty rad. I liked it.
Yeah, man, and you know, but that's what I'm talking about. He's pumping he's getting the company's name out there. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And, you know, I think you need to see that a little bit. You know, I don't necessarily agree with his methods, but, you know, his heart's in the right spot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, just my uneducated point of view is some of those fights he put out, his guys wouldn't have fared too well, but at least he was trying. You know what I mean? It brought something new.
Yeah,
I agree.
Sorry, go ahead.
Nope. You start it. You finish it, man.
I was just going to say that I agree with Jordan, but at the same time, Ali was trying to fight fire with fire, right? He was bringing out his best guys and, for the most part, was calling out Bellator's best guys, too. So,
you know, I remember thinking that fight card would go about 50-50. You know, not that I don't think that, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and just be all Bellator. But, you know, I remember thinking, like, yeah, that guy could definitely, that would be a good matchup. Okay, that, you know, I remember thinking it, like, that would be a pretty competitive card. You know, I remember thinking, I thought we'd come out ahead as far as Bellator, like 6-4 or something like that, you know, but that it would be close. So I'm always down for that. That's why I really like that, you know, Bellator under Scott has been more open with, like, fighters going to Glory and fighters, you know, doing other sports and boxing. And
you guys still here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here. Can you not hear me? Yep.
Okay, you know, you
guys, that was weird.
You guys dropped off for a second there.
Okay,
it wouldn't,
well,
you know what, it wouldn't be a Beards on MMA show without Blog Talk Radio screwing us around a couple times, so there you
well,
go.
Is it Blog Talk Radio, or is it one of those other suck-ass podcasts trying to start shit? We can go that route.
It could be.
Oh.
It could be, yeah.
But
thousand followers for like one day?
No.
Was that?
Oh,
yeah,
that was an MMA fan.
Oh.
Yeah, that guy's... I love that guy to death, but he's such a prick. He's one of those cousins, you know, like my whole family's full of him. Hi, Coco, cocksucker. But he's one of those guys that's just like, Jesus Christ, if you know him, you know he's starting shit. But if you don't know him, you're just like, God, what an asshole.
So, well, that's my wife and I were just watching Hot Tub Time Machine the other day, and they were trying to explain their friend Lou, and they tell the doctor, well, you know how, like, he's an asshole, but he's our asshole, you know. So like, we, you know, so we can look at it that way. He's an asshole. He's our asshole. So.
All right, let's close up on the MMA awards here. Any thoughts on your favorite presenters of the night? Because I was a big fan of Hanato presenting the best referee of the year.
Hanato was great, and I feel like that the choice to give him referee of the year, like what award has the most R's in it? You know, they're like, give that one to Hanato. And I will honestly say that was the first time I had ever met him. And I enjoyed him thoroughly. If you get the chance to meet Hanato Laranja, run, don't walk over and try and start shit with him. So
he tried to call me out at one point. So
yeah. It was overall, it was a good night. You know, thanks to Fighters Only for inviting us out there and everything. But as far as favorite presenter, other than Hanako, I think my favorite part of the night, other than Daniel Cormier's song, is his version of All About That Cake, which you can find on Fighters Only YouTube, was when Ariane accepted Ring Girl of the Year. And I don't know if she had been drinking, but... You know, when she got up there, maybe they left it on TV, maybe they didn't, but she essentially said, I deserve this because I was the first one there ever was and
that's
walked
right
off stage. And I was like, that's a total mic drop moment. It was like, she just dropped the mic. So I'd have to say that was one of the highlights for me of the show.
You know what is another highlight for me, and I don't really want to start shit here, but it was really funny, was when Uriah Faber came out with TJ Dillashaw and Chad Mendes, and they were, I think they were presenting an award, or I don't know what they were doing, but Uriah just looks, you know, right at the crowd and goes, oh, you know, I recruited these guys straight out of high school. And then the look on TJ's face,
it was daggers.
Yeah.
It was daggers. So I, that was an interesting moment. I was like, is this going to happen right here?
Yeah,
we can do this. This
we're getting UFC 192 right here.
Yeah. So, but yeah, overall a good show. It was very enjoyable, you know, and the Venetian was cool, and Matt lost a lot of money by playing like a pussy at the Wheel of Fortune game. So I'm gonna put that out there. You did.
Yeah.
You could have had.
Oh, you could. Yeah. <All right. laughs> So. Yeah, okay, so I'd been drinking quite a bit, and I threw 20 bucks into the Wheel of Fortune machine, because the Wheel of Fortune at the Venetian is like the coolest slot machine that's ever existed. So I sort of figured out how to get the slot machine to go in my drunken state, but the problem was I was playing all the lines, but I forgot to play like $2 at a time and didn't realize I was only playing 85 cents. So I get to the bonus wheel, which is the thing you want to do, right? It's like the place you want to be is to get the bonus wheel. And we're watching the wheel spin, and we're like, oh my God, yeah. And all of a sudden it lands on 1,000. And 1,000, I think it's one of the highest things you can get. And we're just high-fiving, and, you know, we're screaming. And then I realize I'm only playing 85 cents a play, so my 1,000 credit play was only worth 40 bucks.
Yeah, it was awesome. The color just drained.
Yeah. I practically turned white watching that happen. And Jason Herzog, you know, he's usually a pretty happy, pretty mild-mannered guy, but I thought he was going to tackle me to the ground and beat me. He was so angry.
He was legitimately angry at you. That's the first time I've ever...
He was going to start knocking shit over if we didn't just walk away.
And he was totally sober. Had not had one drink all night, you know.
That's right.
He was just feeding us drinks. He was just pretending to be getting drinks to give us drinks faster, you know. and he was legitimately angry. So that was another highlight of the weekend, with Matt blowing a big jackpot.
Yeah, that could have been something. Yeah. Also, I have to ask fighters only. Not that they're ever going to listen to this podcast, but they should, because we should be considered for best and worst podcast of the year next year. Do not bring back that stand-up comedian. I don't know who that guy was.
I don't know why they brought him in.
That dude bombed, and I felt really bad for him, because like the Adam Hunter MMA roasted segment bombed, but that was pre-recorded. So all Adam really had to do was squirm in his seat and kind of hide. This guy was out on stage in front of 3,000 people telling the worst jokes that like you could ever tell in front of an MMA crowd. They weren't relevant at all.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't
so
relevant.
I feel like he would do well in his own environment. You know what I mean? Like at a stand-up club or something like that. But at the MMA awards, he was making some really weird jokes.
Sports crap. He went straight into the gay and racial jokes, and there weren't any sports jokes that I remember. So
no, it was just really, really weird. I was like, we were all looking at each other in the eye. Like, you know, Pro Matt and I didn't even know the people around us, but we all quickly became friends and bonding over this man's pain. You know, so I felt super bad for him.
At one point, I'm pretty sure Matt had to restrain me from getting up and yelling, "Get off the stage," because I was that pissed off. At what a waste of my time this was.
I just went and got you a drink, and you calmed right down like a baby
that's
with
right.
a bottle. You know, you were good to go.
So that's it. Thanks to Fighters Only. Thanks to you, Cutman Matt. Thanks to Jason Herzog. Thanks to referee Mike Beltran, who we actually have coming onto a future Beards on MMA based on the moments we spent bonding over drinks that whole weekend. So there's your kick, Jordan. We finally got Mike to come on the show.
Boom. And he's rad.
He's super rad.
He's pretty rad.
And he puts up with Australian bloggers that talk out of their ass.
That's right.
So, that happened too.
That's
a story for when Mike comes on. We'll tell that.
That's right.
We'll tell that story when Mike actually comes on. So
yeah,
Jordan, we'll tell you off the air.
that's where Mike and I actually kind of became buddy-buddy, was sort of telling this guy off. So that was also when Matt disappeared for about 2 hours, but that's again for a different night. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to be drunker to tell that story. So
yeah. All right. Let's push that aside and move on over to drug test failures, because they've become a thing in MMA. I think it was Mike Bone from MMA Junkie released a fact that the last pay-per-view where the results were clean was UFC 180. And I think he'd also thrown out the fact that 31% of main eventers or something like that. And granted, that's like, you know, 7 out of 16 or 5 out of 16 or something like that. It's still, you know, in journalism, we like to fluff the numbers as much as we can. So it was 31%. Anyway, the results for the last clean test where it was UFC 180. And granted, that's only 3 pay-per-views, but, you know, there's 3 more than that should be, really. What's going on in MMA here? And while everybody's kind of worried about the public image of the sport, is it really a big deal in the grand scheme of things?
And I don't know this right off the top of my head, so this is a legitimate question, but I think I know. when was the last time a drug test failure seemingly affected the outcome of a fight? I mean, you could say Silva, but Diaz top two, so whatever. You know, we'll call it, that was just a general wash. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't feel like it honestly changes the outcome that often. You know, where somebody, like, pops positive and they demolish the other guy. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, holy shit. You know, it wasn't Mark McGuire breaking records, you know, out yeah. there. It was just a normal fight like we've always seen it. I do think that with the increased number of failures recently, it shows that drug testing is getting a little bit more stringent, and these out of competition tests and these pre-fight tests are working. Now, they're not working in the sense that these fight promoters know about them, whether they say they do or not. I get the drug tests back from my own guys, and it doesn't take 3-4 weeks like they're making it out to be. You know, it's 7 to 10 days. And they're letting these fights happen. I feel like that's the trap. I don't care if somebody pops positive, to be honest. It doesn't bother me all that bad, you know, whatever, competitive edge, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, to bring up Mark McGuire again, I don't think that it helped him hit the ball any better. You know, he still had to pick it out of the air. And, you know, being on steroids doesn't help you throw the 1-2 combination properly or, you know, sink in a triangle any better. You know, so I'm not really, like, on that much. But I do think it's wrong for these companies to know about the test prior and still let these people fight and then punish mm-hmm. them afterwards. To me, it's very, very blatant money grab type situation. I think that that's hurting the sport more than these positive drug tests are.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, but earlier today, I think that the results of a second Anderson Silva test were released. That happened 10 days after the first, and he tested negative to everything. Not, you know, not that that might matter at this point, but just,
well,
you know, just saying
he was cycling
they didn't do a
off at
test.
That point in time. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so they just, you know, they caught him just a little early as he was cycling off, you know, and it's whatever. You know, it may have helped him train harder, but, you know, muscles don't bring technique, you know, you don't, mm-hmm. you know, at a certain level, you know, that's what jujitsu and wrestling and things are, they're leverage, and, you know, we have technique so that it's not just all about brute strength, you know.
Right.
And so it just annoys me. That they know about it beforehand. I think that if UFC, and let's admit it, they're the forefront here on this sort of thing. If the UFC like had caught Anderson Silva and, you know, pre-fight or whatever, and canceled that fight, would they have lost money? Yes, but would they have gained an almost infinite amount of respect from the fans and from journalists and from outside sports writers and just people that are like, hey, they're making, look at that. They canceled their main event. They're, you know, for the right reasons, they're making mm-hmm. a concerted effort to clean up the sport. And they did the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm. And instead they sort of looked at it and went, that would make our main event Tyron Woodley versus Kelvin Gastelum.
Which, I love Woodley, but not known for being the most exciting fighter. So, not the best main event. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, what do you guys have to say?
I'm kind of with you too. That's where I am. You know, I'm not so. I mean, if we're looking at the image of MMA, right? The reason I asked you guys whether it was a big deal was because if you look at baseball, and that was perfect that you mentioned Mark McGuire, right? Because I was looking at that exact example. If you look at the mid '90s in baseball, you now know that everybody was juicing. You know, Jose Canseco said it himself. And Jose Canseco was at the MMA awards cracking jokes, so he's gotta be true, right? But I mean, even more so, baseball's long term image wasn't really hurt by the reports or the drug failures or the Supreme Court stuff. No, I mean the guys themselves were. You know, Mark McGuire's right. image was tarnished, Sammy Sosa's image was tarnished, Brady Anderson's image was tarnished, Rafael Palmeiro's image was tarnished. But the sport itself was all right, and I think the sport itself will be fine here too. So I don't really buy into people that are trying to drag the entire image of MMA down. I mean, yeah, there's got to be more people out there cheating, but, you know, there's still clean fighters out there, and there's still guys that fight because they, you know, because they want to, because it's their living, and they do it cleanly.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And, you know, I saw a thread on SureDog the other day, and I lurk on SureDog and, you know, the underground, stuff like that. Nobody knows who I am. I think one moderator on SureDog might know who I am. That's it. But
is it,
is it
Commander Riker?
No. You know what? Since he might listen to the show, you know, Sure Dog Mod. Let me look up his name. I'll give him a little shout out right here.
It was Greg Savage. It actually is Greg Savage, because that was, I think Jason pointed him out, or was it Dwayne that pointed him out to us? Dwayne Ludwig. When I asked who it was, but they told me it was Greg Savage, and I legitimately spent like 45 minutes of this party looking at this guy and thinking, you know, did Jonathan Frakes just put on you know, a suit and come to the MMA awards, or who is that? And then, yeah, it turns out it's Greg Savage, who is a pretty spitting image for Commander Riker.
He is. But the mod's name on Sure Dog is Sinister. So Sinister, if you're listening, yeah, that was really me. But the point was that there was a thread on there that, you know, is there a fighter in MMA that you know 100% sure is clean? And I do. You know, I know fighters that I work with, you know, closely, that I am 100% positive are 100% clean. But to me, like, that's a bad sign. Like, that is a bad sign that that's the casual conversation among hardcore MMA fans right now, is that they're beginning to suspect the entire sport. And the reason, I think, again, to go back to my point earlier, the reason they're suspecting the entire point is because it seems to be sanctioned by the UFC at this point in time. Nobody is losing money. Nobody's losing fights, you know, and that makes it look like the sport is dirty, as opposed to just, like what you said, an individual fighter.
I think as far as it being bad for the sport, I'm not getting in there with somebody who's, you know, PRT'd up. So, it may not give them a competitive advantage in the fact that it doesn't help them throw cleaner punches or throw a triangle on any better, stuff like that. But I'm not the guy getting in there with somebody who is on steroids or HGH or TRT or any of that stuff. So
that's a good point. Do you think that whenever they find out that a fighter, you know, was doping earlier, you know, that they tell the opponent? I mean, I bet Nick Diaz didn't know that Silva was voided up. You know, and is that fair to Nick Diaz if they know and they don't tell him and he still goes in there to fight? What if he got hurt? What if Nick Diaz, like, I don't know, broke his jaw or something like that, something seriously happened to him, and then it comes out that the UFC knew?
Yeah, through it. Hypothetically, what if the bell rang and Anderson Silva didn't stop throwing punches?
You bring up a really good point that you wouldn't get in there with somebody roided, and you know what, necessarily, you know, there's several other fighters that might think the same thing, and they're not being given the decision. So,
yeah,
how do you
approach a fighter that, you know, after the fact, saying, well, you know, you had these results 3 weeks ago and you didn't say anything? Like, I'm sure there's some rich white dude, weaselly lawyer way out of all that shit. But I mean, it's still kind of fucked up.
Can we all three agree? And if you don't, you don't have to or whatever, but you should, you know, agree with me probably. But that the UFC had these results before they said they did.
Oh, shit. I have no doubt in my mind those fuckers knew.
I don't see why they wouldn't have known, to be honest with you.
Yeah. To say that it took like 3 to 4 weeks to get the results back is ludicrous. What's the point of pre-fight testing if you're not going to get the results back pre-fight? It's just absolutely, it's like...
And my question is, they said that I read somewhere, and I'm like, this is all hearsay bullshit, but said somewhere that Nick Diaz failed a few tests leading up to the fight. So he tested,
and they let
you
him
know,
fight.
He had to test clean in order to get his license.
That was confirmed by somebody. I think that was confirmed by either Dana White or I think it was Caesar Gracie that actually said that.
Okay, so my
maybe
question
it wasn't him, but it was somebody that was close enough to Nick Diaz that I'm pretty sure it's true. He basically got the clean bill of health like 3 days, like January 28th, I think was the date that they said that he tested clean.
So my question is this: how the hell did you have time to give that guy 3, 4, 5 tests, get him back, test him again, get him back, test him again, but you didn't have the results from Anderson Silva from a month prior, something like that? Like,
yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
They make themselves look worse with this kind of bullshit.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is that that might have a bit of influence or might have delayed things. And I'm sort of just playing the Kung Lee card here, is where they were tested. Because I'm sure Nick Diaz was tested in California, but I have no idea where Anderson Silva was tested. He was in L.A. at one point. He was in Nevada at another point. It was Nevada, right, where he was tested and failed?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. You know, that could definitely play into it. But, man, I don't know. I appreciate the devil's advocacy, but I'm still going and just didn't want to lose a bunch of money. You know, I guess it comes down to the fact that – go ahead.
Somebody's got a Kickstarter, like a pee stick or something like that, like a pregnancy test that'll actually work to discover all this stuff, you know, so that we can find out results within hours.
They have it. You can go to Walgreens and buy it right now. It's an at-home test. You basically piss in a cup, put the stick in there, and then the stick, like, lights up with all – like, it does the, you know, the main five. It does, like, coke, you know, amphetamines, marijuana, you know, the basic five shit. It does all of those, you know, and they can do it right there. That's what California does, I think, right now, at least. I think they take two samples, and I think Nevada might do it, and I'm pretty sure New Jersey does it too, is they take two samples, and then, you know, one of them kind of gets the immediate test, and then the other, I will tell you for sure, everybody thinks that Chickasaw, which is in in Thackerville, Oklahoma, Bellator goes here a lot, people think that they don't drug test. They do. They absolutely do. They just don't publish the drug test. But they're, you know, they drug test almost everybody at Chickasaw. And, you know, California at the last Bellator show drug tested every single fighter. You know what I mean? And so, like, these quick tests are out there. But, you know, you definitely need a second sample to verify, you know, the amount. Because now with marijuana, the amount of particulate matters, you know, what's positive and what's not, et cetera. So I just wish that, you know, the UFC would just bite the bullet and do the right thing once or twice, you know, at the expense of some profit in order to bring back some. They're so sure right now that the fans won't leave for any reason. And I think that they're playing with fire with that mentality.
Right.
Well, and you got to think the only thing casual, I mean, the thing that blows my mind about all this is, you know, Twitter, and I don't go to any MMA forums. I don't mess around with any of that bullshit because everybody knows everything. But from a casual fan's point of view, where it's like I like to be involved, I like to get all the information, but I just kind of skim the top. And I think what a lot of casual fans hear is Anderson Silva failed the drug test. UFC withheld $6 million. Now, whether they stick around...
Which isn't even
story,
true.
Yeah, but that was the big thing going around yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so well, I think it was like MMA Junkie or something jumped on it before it was true. You know,
Bloody Elbow, I think?
Bloody Elbow,
I can't remember.
Yeah.
So the casual fans who just kind of skim and read and stuff like that, is all they're hearing is Anderson Silva failed the drug test, UFC's withholding money, John Jones tested positive for coke, skipped out of rehab after a day. So it's like just kind of not getting the follow-up information. And I think that's what's going to bite them in the long run, is that there are a lot more casual fans than there are people who live and breathe it every day.
Agreed.
So all the people that are, you know, all hardcore fans and do nothing but bitch about everything, blah, 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 all those assholes, they're like, they get the backside of the story, but shit, there's a lot of people out there who just, all they know is what pops up on Yahoo. So,
yeah.
My point is, besides calling people assholes,
that's the only point you need, my friend.
That's right.
Welcome to Beards on MMA if you're a first time listener.
So I got two more words to close up this subject before we move on, because we're sort of running out of time. John Fitch.
Yeah, that one blew my mind.
That legitimately surprised me. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, say it ain't so.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Fitch. the only justification I had for, you know what I mean, in my head is like, you know, I like John Fitch. He seems like a straight up guy. I was like, well, think of who his opponent was. Hasn't Paul Harris. Hasn't he pissed hot before?
He has. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So I mean, John, to me, it's like he's got a family. If I can honestly say, if I was a fighter, which I'm not, hold my own street fights, what's up? I'd get murked by an MMA guy. But if I was in that cage, I'd probably try whatever I could to get an advantage to feed them kids. But I think he was just trying to fight fire with fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that, and I kind of agree with you in the fact that, you know, I am not at this level. I'm not in Bellator. I'm not in the UFC. I'm not in Titan or World Series or any of these really high-level organizations. And if I was, and you put that stuff right in front of me and said, you know, hey, man, it'll help you win, I'm not going to say I wouldn't do it. Like, I hope children aren't listening. Don't do drugs, but shit. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, when you're talking about the difference between making, you know, 15 or 30, you know, and this might be your only fight this year, you know, you might think twice. You know, it's a catch 22, really, because there's a pretty decent chance your opponent is too. You know, it was like earlier on Facebook, I'd kind of made fun of this, you know, this situation, and a little fight broke out on the thread. I just like to start fights on Facebook. and I was like, come on, guys, everybody is still, and I was like, I guarantee you NASCAR drivers are taking Ritalin, you know, or amphetamines or something to concentrate, you know, at in their 400 laps. I'm like, everybody, and, you know, fucking chess players are, I don't know, overdosing on Alpha Brain from Onnit or something crazy, you know, everybody is doing everything that they can to get the competitive edge. And I would be really hypocritical if I sat here and said, you know, hand to God that I wouldn't do that, because I don't know. I've never been put in that situation, and neither have a lot of the casual fans that are out with their pitchforks right now. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I don't advocate drugs or any of their uses, though.
Yeah. All right.
I don't either, but I'd rather do them.
Let's actually just cut the topic right there, because, like I said, we're running along. We can always visit this next time around. Just closing up shop here. It's a busy weekend for MMA coming up. We got the World Series of Fighting Thursday, Bellator Friday, the UFC Saturday. I don't know about you guys. I don't really have a lot of thoughts about World Series of Fighting. I'm pretty sure Marlon Moraes is going to come away with another stellar victory. Not to take anything away from Josh Hill, but Marlon Moraes, you know,
Cody McKenzie's fighting. That's
yeah,
I would
well,
like to watch Cody McKenzie fight. That's about it, to be honest, for me on that card.
I was actually just about to say I wouldn't actually sleep on Andrew McKinnis and Cody McKenzie, because I think Andrew McKinnis is actually a pretty good up and comer. His last win was over Ryan
Sweet
Healy.
Beard too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying.
And the only bad thing I can say about Andrew McKinnis is I'm not a big fan of his nickname, which is the Andrew Conda.
That's a bad nickname. You're right. I don't think I knew that. Jordan. That's actually fucking cool, guys. So just so you know. But I was just sitting here thinking, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, Pro Matt likes Andrew McKinnis. He's fucking Canadian. Of course he likes Andrew McKinnis. So
I'm not.
I was like,
you know,
he's going with a bearded Canadian.
he beat Ryan Healy, though, so I don't know if I can be a fan of Andrew McKinnis at this point. The rest of the card,
Ryan
honestly,
Healy,
basically
yeah.
just – It just looks like a big MFC
pretty lackluster.
Card. That's, yeah.
It's a lackluster card, in my opinion. And I hate to talk shit about any organization. Everybody's trying. I've had cards fall apart on me, too. You know what I mean? But I just feel like they have such a deep roster, and I really don't feel like they utilize it very well. And
yeah,
that's just
this,
my opinion. But you
this
know.
One here specifically, though, I think this one's actually to appease the Edmonton fans. Like I said, there's a lot of MFC guys on that card, and the rumor has it right now that the MFC is done. But they haven't really gone public yet, so I don't really want to say anything further, but that seems to be the rumor floating around Canadian MMA circles right now. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Moving over to the Bellator card, Melvin Manhoff, Alexander Shlemenko, somebody probably going to die.
Man, that's a real interesting fight for me, I think.
Yeah.
Just because, like, Shlemenko definitely feels more comfortable on the feet, or at least he used to. He's fought a lot of grapplers recently, and definitely Manhoff feels comfortable on his feet. But, you know, they're both coming off some pretty nasty losses. And so, you know, you wonder if – is it going to go one way or the other? Is one of them going to be gun-shy and nervous because he lost so spectacularly in his last fight? Or are they going to come out like, you know, like caged animals ready to just kill and reclaim their, you know, their spot? So,
to be honest with you,
Manhoff is.
I don't think gunshy is in Alexander Shlemenko's vocabulary. So,
He's changed up his, and you notice he's changed up his style. He used to do a lot of the flashy, the spinning stuff, got a lot of his, like, highlight reel stuff that way. And he's definitely gotten more conservative in his training, and especially since he started training in the U.S., which, you know, that's one of those things. Like, if you go to an amateur show, like, and I encourage anybody listening right now, if there's amateur MMA in your area, like, if you see a flyer at a gas station or some shit, and it's at the local, you know, YMCA in the gym, go. The tickets might be a little much, but these guys are guys fighting for the pure glory. It's like, it's, you know, they're just out there. They're never going to be in the UFC. Some of these guys, some of them may be seeing the next, you know, Shlemenko, but a lot of these guys are just out there and they will try anything. It's the most entertaining shit you've ever seen, because you've got a guy that trains in his basement that's only watched Bloodsport, you know, that thinks he's come, you know, whatever. He thinks he's Van Damme fighting a guy that's been, you know, training 6 months at a local gym, and shit goes off the chain. You know, like, it's some of the most entertaining shit. But as, you know, your level grows and your expertise grows, you run into this problem where you're two very, very high-level fighters. And it's like watching a high-level jiu-jitsu match. High-level jiu-jitsu can last a really long time, and unless you really, really, really love jiu-jitsu, it can be pretty fucking boring. And so, like, I kind of wish, like, Shlemenko would go back a little bit more to that, like, that more wild, hungry style where he just didn't seem to give much fucks. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
let's
if
get
you look
back
at,
there.
I have two lasting memories of Alexander Shlemenko. Actually, I said three. One was his victory over Bubba McDaniel, where I can picture Bubba just wheezing on the mat right now for, like, 10 minutes after the fight was over. Because he caught him with that knee so bad. And then just the Minowa fight, just because, you know, it was Super Fight League, and you know me and Super Fight League are tight because they're my people.
Tight.
And, yeah, and I think it was the Doug Marshall fight where...
that liver shot. Yeah.
Yeah, the liver shot followed by the Doug Marshall is great striker, but I am better striker. And he sort of walks away. That was like the mic drop. He's like, I am better striker. And that's it. He's done.
You know... And Manhoff wrecked Marshall, you know, pretty quickly, and so did Shlemenko. So, you know, I don't know. It's definitely going to be a stand-up fight. I hope it's a wild and crazy fight, and I hope that the fans enjoy it. It's definitely not a mismatched fight because we know it's going to stay on the feet. So
yeah, well,
if they went to the ground, I think Shlemenko would have the upper hand. But, you know,
Melvin,
I think we all know this is glory in 4 ounce gloves.
Melvin Manhoff, 29 career victories, 27 KOs. So he's not going to be submitting Shlemenko. We'll put it that way.
Exactly. And I think Shlemenko has no desire to go to the ground. I think he wants to stand and strike and alpha the fuck out of this fight. I think he wants the big W over, you know, the heavy striker. So it's an interesting fight. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it's probably the best choice for main event, although the Pat Curran Daniel Weichel fight, because I think we know whoever wins that fight is probably getting the next title shot. You know, I think there would have been a case for making that the main event as well. Unfortunately, while Pat Curran has a name, Daniel Weichel is still up and coming and doesn't quite have the star power yet to pull off his half of a main event. But I actually think that fight will be really, really good. So.
Yeah, and you know I'm looking forward to Julia Budd and Gabrielle Holloway, just because.
Oh, you're a Budd addict.
I'm a Budd addict. Yeah, just because you know there's not not many Vancouver area fighters out there. Yeah.
A Budd head. How did I miss that? How did I miss that? sorry. We'll stop making fun of you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. I got one more question, and I'm not sure if there's any relation here, but there's a guy, I think he's the last prelim fight, named Nick Bustamante. Is there any relation to Murillo, or is it just like the Brazilian Smith?
I think that is a coincidence, because Nick Bustamante trains at Dethrone in Fresno, and I think that the other Bustamante does not have any kind of you think he would, you know, train with his, you know, with his relative, probably. But
yeah.
I don't think that there's any relation. I think that just is, like,
all
maybe
right.
He's getting fights off that name, though. That'd be dope. You know, might
maybe,
as well use
yeah.
it. You can't. I don't think that there's any relation there.
All right. Well, there we go. All right. We'll move over to the UFC card, which is on Saturday night. That is the Ben Henderson versus Brendan Thatch event in UFC. It's UFC Fight Night 126,000. It's live from Broomfield, Colorado. Interesting how Ben Henderson ended up taking the fight. He moves up to 170 for this one. I just thought it was interesting that he took the fight on short notice. It seems like Donald Cerrone is really having a good influence on the rest of the UFC with his lack of fucks given, really.
Well, and he's shown that, you know, and before the old theory was, that don't take fights like that because, you know, you'll lose. You'll be wrecked. You'll be tired. You'll lose. And it's not worth it. And I think he's shown it's possible. If you stay in shape all the time, you know, I know a lot of fighters, and we've all heard of them, you know, that basically, you know, miss a lot of big opportunities because they get out of shape. Oh, they're doing drugs, maybe, and they can't take a short notice fight, whichever. At least we know that Cerrone is clean. Tested every 2 weeks.
The only thing that Cerrone is guilty of testing positive for is Budweiser and Domino's Pizza. So, we know he's good for it. I mean, he himself said a week before the Ben Henderson fight, he ordered from Domino's and just had a good time with it.
You know, and I think that's good. It's so, you know, even kind of ties into what I was saying before. So he's shown you can fight often if you stay in shape and, of course, you stay injury-free, and you can do so without drugs.
Yeah.
He's beating the fuck out of everybody pretty much in quick succession without breaks and without doping.
Yeah, and he's not even hurt or injured right now. He's just waiting for Khabib. That's all. That's the next fight that he wants.
So... you know, I hats off to him. You know, I've never been a huge fan of him, and, you know, but he's, you know, because he was never the greatest role model. I always kind of think about, like, what are the kids saying or whatever. So I don't necessarily like the more asshole-ish fighters, you know, that I think set bad examples. But I think that Cerrone, on accident, is setting a good example. Like, I don't think he means to be setting a good example. He's just, you know, he's just making that money. He's just making that beer money. But at the same time, he's accidentally become a really, really good example of what's possible, you know, and pulling it off well. So, you know, I guess I kind of like him now.
So. It's that coffee and chew diet. You wake up, you have a couple cups of coffee, you put in some chew, and you go to work. I mean, it works for me.
That's right.
You know what? I still, as far as this Ben Henderson Thatch fight goes, I still have not forgiven Henderson for the time that he popped when he took his mouthpiece out and he had his toothpick in.
Toothpick, yeah.
That pissed me off so bad. Like, you guys don't even know. We didn't have a show that week or something like that, because I would have railed on that for the full hour.
That was
I definitely would have.
We may have, because we were on the air when that happened. That was the Nate Diaz fight, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, that pissed me off. And you know, maybe I was just, I don't know, wasted that night when we did the show, you know, as is, you know, my tendency. But, like, drinking, kids, not drugs, drinking, just drink, it's legal. But as the cut man, you know, that guy in his corner, and as far as the doctor and the medical personnel, if something would have happened with that, you know, and he choked, and none of us would have known what the fuck was going on, because we didn't know he had a goddamn toothpick in his mouth, you know, I'm still mad at him for it. So, come on, Brandon Thatch.
So, sorry. Just the reason that we didn't talk about it that night was because Beards on MMA actually didn't exist when that fight happened. So there you go.
There we go.
That was like 2012.
Well, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
I would have been angry.
You would have just been talking to the wall that night.
Yeah. I think I probably did rail on whoever was around me when I saw it happen. But I'm still mad at him for it, because I'm 100% sure he's still doing it. You know, I guess at least now I would know to look for a Q-tip lodged in a trachea, you know, if something happened. But anyway, sorry. That was a completely ridiculous reason to want somebody to lose, but, you know.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I mean, we were talking about how Andrew McInnes has a terrible nickname. There are some horrible, horrible nicknames on this card, because I'm sure you guys – don't really want to talk about the fights on Saturday. We want to talk more about the bad nicknames. Like, let's see, we got
obviously.
Cody the Fist Fister probably has to be the worst. Now, that's fists, spelled P-F-I-S-T because his last name is spelled P-F-I-S-T-E-R.
You know, he's just trying to be clever. You know, can you blame him? I mean, where is he from? Where's Cody Fister from? Let me look here real quick. I mean, that might explain it right there. If he's from Iowa or something.
Amarillo, opponent,
Texas.
However,
come on.
his nickname, his opponent actually has a cool nickname, though. James Muntasri is known as Moonwalker. I think that works.
That is a good nickname.
That is a good nickname.
And then I've always liked Zach Mikowski's on this card. I've always been all right with it. Fun size.
He's like 5'2", so, you know, it just works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 125-pounder, you know, short guy, you know, fun size is appropriate. It's tongue-in-cheek sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Now,
I
wasn't a big fan of Nick Lentz's nickname, the Carney, until I actually heard how he got the nickname, and it's actually a pretty good story. So I don't know if you know. This is actually something that dates all the way back to the old Nerds on MMA show when Andrew and Alicia used to host. They'd assumed that Nick got the nickname because he's, I don't know, they thought he was a little bit homely or something like that. But apparently he's really good at those crane games, you know, where you can win the stuffed animals.
Yeah.
So he was just, you know, railing the shit out of this one crane game and just pulling out stuffed animal after stuffed animal after stuffed animal and just handing them out to kids. And they said, you're almost like a carny. So that's where the carny stuck. So I'm okay with that nickname now that I know the origin of it. However, I'm not cool with Ray Borg's nickname, the Taz-Mexican Devil.
Taz-Mexican Devil. I don't think I knew that. I did not know that was his nickname. Like, now,
that was kind of rad.
He does. It might actually be slightly better than Chris. His opponent, Chris Kalides, is known as the Greek Assassin, which is just about as generic as you can get. You take your nationality and you take one of the four words that like every other MMA fighter is nicknamed, like Pitbull and Assassin. So he's just the Greek Assassin.
The Greek Pitbull Assassin. That would be even better. Well, that's Mike Bronzoulis, who's I think he fights for, I want to say Legacy right now, and he fought for Bellator for the first time. I mean, he just straight up went the Greek.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Mike the Greek.
That's cool. I don't know. I think that's fine. It works.
I want to be the white trash in assassin.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
I
think that's your new
stuff.
Twitter handle.
The white trash in assassin.
Didn't we have Kevin Lee on the show one time? I just realized he's on this card.
Yeah, we did.
Did we have Kevin Lee on one time?
We did. Kevin Lee was the infamous RoboCop show where Andrew started asking him about RoboCop. Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
in awesome, and by that I mean the most awkward show ever, because we just spent 40 minutes railing the guy for being from Detroit not knowing about RoboCop.
Yeah. And then at the end he's like, man, I don't even have a DVD player. And we're like, dude, we'll send you one. He's like, nah. He did offer to, you know what? Kevin Lee did offer to come back on the show if we ever did it again, and then he straight up unfollowed me like the week after. So.
Oh, you got poppies.
Yeah, I got poppies.
You got
that's
poppies.
Right. Ooh,
hey, poppies,
I forgot about
follow
that.
Me, guy.
Shout out to the Tachi kid.
Although one of the people from Iridium Sports Management up in the Pacific Northeast just unfollowed me today. Don't think I didn't notice that, mister.
Which one was that?
Mike's manager?
Oh, I don't want to call him out by name. He probably knows who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who you are, mister. You are. Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, really? Fuck you, too. I unfollowed him right back.
Nice.
if my computer worked, I'd check. He probably unfollowed me, too.
Did he?
Patrick,
all right, that would be interesting.
The only thing I have against Patrick, the Beast of the East Walsh, is that there's only one Beast from the East, and you guys know who that is, right?
Yeah, it's,
I do.
Bam Bam.
Bam Bam Bigelow, exactly.
Yeah.
Greetings from Asbury Park.
Greetings from Park, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, nobody but Bam
that
Bam Bigelow is the Beast from the East.
I think that that's weird when they take an obviously taken nickname. Like, you know, Josh Sampo, who is he fights for the UFC in the 25-pound division and, has been on our show before. He is a big advocate of you not getting to pick your nickname. And I think that when you see stuff like Beast from the East, I think that's an obvious case of like that guy picked his own fucking nickname because he was a fucking pro wrestling fan probably. He liked.
And the last example that I'm actually going to go into, and a good thing that you brought up Josh Sampo, is because this guy actually gave himself his nickname, but the story behind it is really funny. Keiichi Kunimoto, who is also known as the mirror image of Yoshihiro Akiyama for the amount of bronzer that this guy uses on his body. His nickname's Strasser. And do you know how he got the nickname Strasser?
I don't know.
No fucking clue.
Somebody asked him for a nickname, and he said he didn't want to give himself a nickname. He's like, I don't need a nickname. I'm just Keiichi Kunimoto. They're like, no, you got to give yourself a nickname. So he was training with Dave Strasser at the time. So he said, okay, my nickname's Strasser.
That's
it's like
pretty funny, actually.
It's like the biggest fuck you to nicknames that I've ever heard in my life.
Well, I'll throw this out there. If you are an up-and-coming MMA fighter, or established, I'm cool with either, go to the Beards on MMA Twitter, let us know, and we'll give you a nickname. We'll be creative,
true
funny,
that.
Thought-provoking.
And we'll make it something you can actually use, too.
That's
like,
right.
We won't make it something so bad that you'd be embarrassed. We'll make it fucking cool, I think. We'll come to a, it'll
right,
be a committee
yeah.
decision. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah,
let's do that.
We'll come up with something.
Look what we did for Stipe Miocic. We had a whole community canvas, like 57 different nicknames for him. And he didn't use any of them, but that's besides the point.
That's all it is.
We can make this happen for you.
Yeah.
We can make this happen.
So there we go. All right,
yeah.
I actually think that's a good place to wrap it up, is a call for a nickname.
Absolutely. So on behalf of Cut
well,
and Matt.
Well, real quick.
Yeah. Okay,
shout out
yeah.
to Brandon Thatches. Shout out to Brandon Thatcher's mullet mohawk. That is dope.
Yeah, it's true.
He's got like this
it's
mullet mohawk.
Sick.
That's I hope he wins.
Mohawk.
That's right.
Awesome.
All right then.
All right.
Brandon Thatch, by the way, has never won by decision. So he's all stoppages in 11 fights.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Until
Ben Henderson, on the
ben
other
Henderson.
Hand, 52% stoppage rate, 48% decision. Just something to keep in mind there. Brandon Thatch will also enjoy a 5-inch reach advantage and the better hair advantage that night.
Yeah.
And the better
yes.
tattoo advantage, too.
Well, obviously. I mean, he doesn't have a girl's tattoo. So,
that's
sorry.
Right. On
ben,
behalf,
kick my ass. Ben.
On behalf of Cutman Matt. On behalf of Jordan, I can't believe we're back, guys. That was a lot of fun.
There we go. Now we just need to remember
again,
to edit ourselves a little bit more, and we got it.
That's right. We'll do this again soon. I am Pro Matt. Beards on MMA. We are home. And you know what
Woo.
We're going to close out with?
But my heart's of gold. I had to run away high so I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right, doesn't mean they were always wrong. Just take